The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Darren Owen, Sam Turner and Andy Holding in the studio. It's Exeter, Newcastle and Southwell coming up on Tuesday. So do tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Very well, Mark. Very well, thank you.
Good. Good man. You sound a little bit... under the weather.
I've been desperately under the weather this weekend, but I think I'm coming out the other end of it, so there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Good. And then you'll just be over that, and then it'll be time for Cheltenham. It'll be perfect timing, won't it?
Time to put my body under more pressure.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Are you going down to the festival again, yeah?
That's the plan. I don't know when or for how long. I'm definitely going the first 2 days, and the last two will depend on whether we have any runners down there, which may be the case on the Friday. So okay, it's all a little bit up in the air, but I'll definitely be there the first 2 days.
I thought you were going to say it depends on how drunk you get in the first 2 days to be there Thursday, Friday.
Whether I need to head home.
Yeah.
No, hopefully we'll take it a little bit easier this year.
Okay, good stuff. We're going to look at the Monday Jory, which is obviously themed very much towards the Cheltenham Festival. The first question this week, Sean, is with just over a week to go until the festival, which race are you most looking forward to?
I think the first day is the day that I always look forward to. It's a day chock full of top races, and of course the excitement is probably at its highest with so many unanswered questions. And therefore, on the first day, which race would I most look forward to? Probably the Champion Hurdle this year. Yeah. It looks at a vintage renewal, Mark, and what's fascinating is this year the Champion Hurdle sees several horses towards the top end of the market that haven't really taken each other on. Of course, Forheen, the favourite, hasn't met any of his major rivals, nor has the new one. Jeske and Hurricane Fly have met, but we know that it might be a different ball game back at Prestbury Park. So those four horses all head into the race with excellent claims, and it really is going to be a race to save. We're only three races in, of course. You know, it's going to whet the appetite and set the rest of the week up nicely.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm really looking forward to this year's Champion Hurdle. Yeah. Mainly because I want to see how good Forheen is compared to the others, because he looks like a machine, doesn't he? But he hasn't really taken anything on of the class of the new one and Jeske and Hurricane Fly. And then you've got Jeske and Hurricane Fly, like you say, met a few times a season. It always seems to turn around this time of the year. And the new one, arguably unlucky last year, and it'd be interesting to see how he gets on. So, yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah, exactly. The new one hasn't been at his best in his last couple of races either, you could argue. But we know he comes to himself this time of year, and he's been excellent round Cheltenham in the past.
Mm. Okay, if you could have only one bet, what would it be?
Oh, if I could have one bet. That's a good question, isn't it?
Mm.
I haven't had a bet. Have you had an anti-post bet?
I've had a little nibble on Smad Place for the Gold Cup.
Right, okay.
And again, same again, on Jetson in the World Hurdle at big prices. So
right, yeah.
A couple of speculative
ones. I suppose that's
ones.
A wide open race,
the
World Hurdle. Probably Hargam in the Triumph Hurdle. I think this is a horse who's going to be suited by the rigours of the Triumph Hurdle. I think Peace & Co is very short, taking a lot out of the market. Hargam's second favourite, isn't he?
Hmm.
He will be suited by decent ground. He's going to be suited by an electric gallop. And I don't think we've seen the best of this horse yet.
Okay. Just trying to get the prices to load up, but I have many windows open on my PC, and that's hindering it. Peace & Co. 9-4, Hargam 13-2.
So 6.5-1. That seems fair with regards to Hargam. And, of course, he's got course form.
Yep. Good. Of the four Tuesday hot pots, who looks most vulnerable?
Well, you could argue Forheen looks vulnerable because of how strong a race it is in behind him. Mm-hmm. I think Undersow is banker material in the Arkle. Duvan has to beat Lamy Surge. Annie Power, she shouldn't be beaten in the Mare's Hurdle. So I'd probably argue that Duvan might be the most vulnerable. We've seen plenty of Irish hot pots get turned over in the Supreme Novices Hurdle over the years, and I think he's coming up against a very, very good horse in Lamy Surge. That's not to say that he can't beat Lamy Surge, But if I was to pick one of the four, it would be him to get turned over.
OK. And on to the next question. Who is your strongest handicap fancy?
I haven't had a huge delve into the handicaps as of yet. I've been flicking through them. But we have a nice horse in the county hurdle, Chieftain's Choice, who was unlucky when falling in the Betfair hurdle last time out, Mark. He's rated 134. He's likely to head for the Imperial Cup this Saturday. So he'll have to win the Imperial Cup to be going on to Cheltenham. But that said, I wouldn't rule out a bold bid in the Imperial Cup. He's rated 134, and he's definitely got a big race in him off that mark.
Okay, well, it'd be interesting if he goes to win the Imperial Cup and then you win a race at the festival as well. 100 grand bonus, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a big bonus, and you know, he's just the sort of horse who's he's at the right end of the handicap mark, and he's good enough. Mm. You know, this is a horse who, if he'd had a little bit more luck this season, might be contesting one of the graded novice events at the festival. As it is, his mark is appealing and favourable still, so we'll head down the handicap route.
Okay, interesting stuff. Are Ruby Walsh and Willie Mullins opposable in the top jockey and trainer markets?
I don't really think so. That said, they're long odds on, aren't they? Mm. Willie Mullins is sort of 4-1 on. I think Ruby Walsh a little bit bigger than that, but not a huge amount. You could maybe argue that if they were to have a rocky first day, Mark, that they might be turned over, but you're trying to think of yards that have the firepower to turn them over. And the only three really for me would be the Nichols Yard, the Henderson Yard, and the Pipe Yard. Of course, Philip Hobbs has enjoyed a very good season, but a lot of his handicappers might be as high as they'd want to be. So, look, it's not impossible that they'll be turned over, but they're strong favourites for a good reason.
Yeah. Ruby Walsh 1-2 ahead of Barry Geraghty, who's at 7s, 9s for Brian Cooper and Tony McCoy, 10-1 for Sam Twiston Davis, and 25s or bigger for the others. William Mullins 1-5 for the top trainer, 13-2 for Paul Nichols, 7s for Nicky Henderson, and 33s or bigger. Interesting that Paul Nichols is saying this is his strongest team going to Cheltenham since the days of Corto Star and Denman and Big Books and so on.
Yeah.
If they live up to that, then is 13-2 just a little bit big to take a little
possibly,
chance?
Possibly. He's going to have plenty of runners. I know he said he's not going to have as many runners as he had last year, but he'll still have an awful lot. And look, if Duvan gets beat and you know, something were to happen to Under So, whereby he doesn't win the Arkle, and one of the pretenders in the Champion Hurdle turned over for Heen, who knows?
Mm.
But at the moment, as I say, they're favourites for a very good reason. What you need to happen is a stroke of luck. Say last year on the Friday, Jigginstown had a fantastic day. They won the Triumph Hurdle, they won the Boys Race, and they won another race.
Yeah.
They three winners. If an operation like that had a great day with one trainer, it might work out. But as I say, they look tough to beat at the moment.
Mm. If that happens again as well, I suppose Brian Cooper will be on.
Exactly.
A lot of them, wouldn't
he? So yeah, that's it.
Throw him into the mix for the jockeys. Anyway, the final question is, give us one to follow away from the bright lights who has caught your eye of late.
Definitely Manella Rocco. I was at Doncaster on Friday, saddling a couple of horses, but I got a chance to see this race in between races. And he just looks a lovely animal with a huge future. He beat a decent horse of the Tizards in effortless fashion. And I don't think he's going to be too highly tested this year, but he looks a potential top-class chaser in the making, Mark. I know he cost a lot at the sales last year, £260,000, but in relative terms, he looks worth it. You know, those fees are extortionate for jumpers, but they're not uncommon these days. And he definitely looks a very good horse in the making.
Okay, good stuff. Anything else that you want to add before we move on to Tuesday's action?
No, I think we've covered quite a lot there. The greater race, the handicaps. I think I'm happy enough with that.
Good. Good stuff. Right, let's move on to Tuesday. We'll get Sean's best bets. He's looked at a few races at Exeter and Newcastle for us. So we'll hear his thoughts in a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
And then on to Tuesday, we're going to go through these in chronological order. So the 3:30 at Exeter is where we'll start. This is the Devon National Handicap Chase, which is a Class 3 event over 3.25 miles. We've got a nice field of 13 of them here, Sean, as open as you would expect. And which one's going to stay on strongest here?
Yeah, this is a really open race, isn't it? And it's going to be very testing for these horses. 3 mile, 6.5 furlongs on heavy ground on a stiff track like Exeter. This is going to be hard work for these horses. A horse with an in-and-out profile, but who comes into the race freshened up a touch and represents a yard whose horses are performing better than they were around the turn of the new year, is Gorgeous Liège. We know his ability to handle very soft ground. He was winner at Toaster in December on soft ground. He also won at Fontwell in November on heavy ground. So I think he's got claims. He might be a little bit of a price. Copper Birch is another one who handles very testing ground. He was a winner 2 starts back at Taunton. Was a little bit disappointing last time out at Fosslast, though. He's still a novice and he takes a huge step up in trip. He's going to have to prove that he stays this far as well. Thomas Wilde, he's been in good form of late. He was second behind King's Apollo, ran Wincanton last time out on soft ground. I don't think that was a bad run. He seems to be a very strong stayer, so I'd throw Philip Hobbs' charge into the mix. And Johnny Farrelly, unsurprisingly, turns out to finish the story quickly after absolutely bolting up at Sutherland in a novice's handicap chase. Now, this is a far cry from that race, but it was 3 mile 2. He stays very well. He won by a distance that day. He carries a £7 penalty. Dougie Costello rode him last time out. He takes the ride again. He'd probably be the play in this race, finish the story, given that he comes into this race in excellent form and still seems to be improving.
Okay. Finish the story then to take the Devon National. Up to Newcastle we go for their 4:20 next, and this is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles, a Class 4 event. And we have, again, another nice field, 11 of them in the lineup. Sean, is there an each-way shape that you like here?
I think Ginger Jack is likely to be a favourite here, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
He ran a good race on handicap debut last time out. He was well backed. He was sent off favourite, but he just bumped into one in Silver Duke. But Silver Duke is a horse who had decent muscle perform going into that race. The third horse was Red Inca. So the right horse is finished in the frame that day up at Musselburn. Ginger Jack is going to be of interest again today, but it'll be interesting to see if he's able to concede the weight to the rest of the field. He is one of the more lightly raced in the race, along with Weapon of Choice, who's had a pipe opener at Wolverhampton in early February. Finished last of 7, but was only beaten 3 lengths. Didn't run a bad race at all. He goes handicapping off an opening mark of 108. I think that mark looks workable. Snowed In is a model of consistency. He's sure to run his race. Whether he's as high as he wants to be remains to be seen. Politburo comes into the race having won at the track last time out in heavy conditions, beating Sparkling Hand. That was probably near a career best for Politburo. So he comes into the race in the top of at the top of his game. But I'll probably stick with Ginger Jack. It's a little unoriginal, but he just looks to me to be the one horse in the race who could be open to improvement and able to operate in a grade higher than this 0-110 grade.
Okay. The final race we're going to look at is back at Exeter. This is the 4:30. It's a Class 4 novices hurdle over the extended 2 miles and 7 furlongs. It's almost 3 miles here. And should we start here with Great Choice, who's been probably trying his trade in higher company than this and went pretty close last time at Plumpton?
Yeah, he did. He was third behind Lawton Park. He was a beaten favourite that day, which was a little bit disappointing maybe, but I think he's holding his form quite well. And you know, this is a horse with handicap experience mark coming back into a novice event. I always like horses with this kind of profile. He was second at the open meeting in a novice's handicap hurdle behind Chesterfield. That was a really good run. Plenty of winners have come out of that race in behind him. So I think he's definitely going to be the one to beat here. Vintage Vinny ran a good race behind Avogard last time out. This horse is he has a lot of ability, Vintage Vinny. It's a case of keeping a lid on him, though. I was at Cheltenham 2 starts back when he threw away his chance at the start mark by being unruly at the start and missing the break and conceding his rivals several lengths that day. Local Show, he looks to be a horse who is still improving. He seems to stay very well. And with a rating of 125, he's got to be a player in a normal novice event. And chosen well, probably needs to step up on his debut for the yard when he was a winner at Chepstow in the late part of January. That looked an ordinary enough race. He could do nothing but win, though, and I'm sure he will improve, but he's going to take a big step forward to be winning this. I think Great Choice is the play here. Vintage Vinny, though, definitely has the ability to serve it up to him if on a going day.
Okay, let's go for a forecast. Let's get ambitious.
Yeah. Play Great Choice to beat Vintage Vinny then.
All right. Good stuff. Let's have a quick summary, Sean, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yep, sure thing, Mark. In the 3:30, the Devon National, I'm going to go with Finish the Story, a horse who still looks to be improving, runs in this race under a penalty, having bolted up at Southall last week. In the 4:20 at Newcastle, I think Ginger Jack is a horse who has more to offer. His mark of 109 doesn't look insurmountable. And in the 4:30 from Exeter, I'm going to go with Great Choice to beat Vintage Vinny. This isn't a bad novice's hurdle, but Great Choice's experience in handicaps should just see him come out on top.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Sean. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Cheers, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Sean Quinn on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. with Darren Owen, Sam Turner and Andy Holding in the studio. We've got these two National Hunt meetings, Exeter and Newcastle. We've also got all weather racing on the Fibre Sand at Southwell. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.